All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Member Week is back at Lowe's with big savings for pros. Now through October 15th, my Lowe's Pro Rewards members get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, tools, building materials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings before they're gone. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Merkel Media.
Well, I was going to this place for, I don't know, 6 months, and it was one of my first stops in the morning every other Friday. And you're there by yourself. You have a key fob, and you got to change all the rugs inside this church. And I always just had this real weird vibe going in there, and I was like, just uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I asked some of the other guys, like, if they ever had anything that they saw or heard there, and I said, no, it's just a church, man. I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. So the one day, I had a guy with me, and we get there, and he goes through the pulpit, and I go straight down to the back and cut back around behind the pews to go to the lobby, change those rugs. So he goes through the pulpit over into the kitchen to change the rugs in the kitchen. Well, when we're walking back, he already finished, and he walks out. So I'm turning the corner. I see him up the hallway by the door where we came in at. So as I'm walking up along the pews, I see him walking through the pulpit. And I'm like, what? Like, did I just see that right? Like, I swore it was him. He came. Now, so as I get up along the pews coming through this doorway, the doorway in the side of the pulpit meets right where I'm walking. But he's in front. I just saw him in front of me. So as this thing or whatever it was comes walking towards that door, by the time I cross it, the door slams shut right in my face.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, crossed the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, we're going Hodge, and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I'm your host, Tony Merkel.
And I am Brian Merkel.
We're really glad you're here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the, well, me and my dad on the show, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section. You can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. Check out the gear section on the website as well while you're on the website. That's hammerlanelegends.com/gear. You can check out all the cool stuff we have in there. But we also have that voicemail line. I saw we got a voicemail this week, which was really nice. It's been a little quiet, guys. But, Dad, tell them about the voicemail line.
All right. Well, this is the story with the voicemail line. If you got a 5 or 10 minute story you'd like to share with us and have it on the show, give us a call on the voicemail line. If your story is longer than that, you just need to come on the show. Just send us an email and come on the show. However, that voicemail line phone number is 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-6375.
Yes, sir. I'm going to skip the emergency preparedness food right now. I'm going to go right to the buymeacoffee.com because I got a little spiel about the preparedness. Let's just get the business out of the way. Buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. Go ahead and check that out. It is a virtual tip jar where you can basically tip the show and buy us some coffees, and the old man needs it driving the truck.
As much as possible.
Absolutely. So, friends, please go to buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane and give us a tippy tip for some caffeine. Dad, can you imagine any kind of situation going on in the world right now where somebody would need to have emergency preparedness food?
Oh, my word. I think it's all over the place.
Yeah.
It just depends on what part of the world you're in as to what problems you're facing.
Yeah. And, you know, so here's the thing. I mean, people need to understand that the way things are going in the world, not just, you know, we talked about Canada the last 2 weeks, and we'll talk about that stuff whenever we feel like talking about it. But then you have the Ukraine, Russia stuff, and you have the stuff happening here that nobody seems to want to acknowledge and understand is even happening. And so there's a lot of uncertainties. Trade is going to really be affected by this Russia-Ukraine thing, I believe. Mm-hmm. And you just want to make sure you're prepared. And if you don't want to use our website, don't. Go to your store, get yourself some canned goods, and I promise you, moving forward, I believe canned goods are going to be like currency. They're going to increase in value, and you're going to be able to use them to barter and trade. So not only can you feed your family with them, but you can also use it as a currency as well. But if you do want to go to our website, preparewithhll.com, that website, we are offering some deals right now. You can get a 4-week supply of food for $247.
Wow.
That's $50 off. And you can also get a 3-month supply of food. That's $150 off for $474. So 3 months of food. Well, that is 3 months of food for one person, averaging 2,000 calories a day. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people out there that actually don't consume that much. The kids don't consume that much. Maybe 3 month emergency supply of food for your two kids, like me. I have, you know, a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. Maybe 1,000 calories a day is good for both of them. And now we got 6 months, you know. There's things you can kind of play with there. But friends, the way things are going right now, you just want to make sure you are prepared to take care of yourself and your families. And just a little thing that I'm working on here is I came in the studio with Dad, and he looked at my phone on the table and he's like, whose phone is that? Like, so I have my personal phone, I have my business phone, and now I have a third phone. And he's like, what the heck is that? I told him it's my burner phone. So
preparedness.
Yeah. I pretty much am just going to have like a utility belt of cell phones.
Yeah. You know, like Batman walked down the street.
But no, I got a burner phone this week at Walmart for $59.99. It's an Android, just a cheap phone. It has 32 gigs of storage, and that's what I was looking for. I'm not hooking this up for any kind of phone calling. What I'm going to be doing is, and I'm trying to figure it out now, I think I might have downloaded the wrong app, but there are apps that you can download to, once you have that app on your phone, you can download Wikipedia pages, and I'm going to download survival Wikipedia pages,
nice.
You know, what certain berries are good for, what certain plants are good for medically wise, and all that stuff. So I have that information stored on my device in case, say, the system does go down, because they're talking about cyber attacks on Russia. The United States is talking about that. They're saying, hey, we're just thinking out loud here.
Right.
We're considering
never a good
doing
thing to
a
do
cyber attack on Russia. We're just thinking out loud. Hey, Russia, can you hear us? We're just thinking out loud. Nothing to worry about. We're just thinking out loud. We're just letting you know we're thinking about this. It's stupid. But that said, if you do cyber attacks to Russia, there's going to be cyber attacks on us. And maybe not even from Russia, because to be honest with you, I think our American propaganda props Russia up more than what they actually are. Yeah, they have more nukes than us, but their GDP is far less than us. Right. I don't think they have the resources that we've been led to think they are. They are not the USSR. They are a shell of that. And but they do have a very strong ally in China who can do these things.
Right.
And, you know, it just came out a couple of days ago that they were sharing intelligence with China saying, can you talk to
they
Russia?
Right.
And they're like, yeah, we'll talk to Russia. We're going to tell them exactly what you just told
us. What your plan is, right?
You know, it's just like,
there you go.
So we got a bunch of mentally held back people running things right now. And it's one of those things where, the cyber attack can really happen. Now, I say all that to say, if it comes our way, what are they going to attack? They're going to attack maybe the banking system, maybe our grid, maybe an EMP attack. Right. And that's why I got this burner phone that I'm going to put in a Faraday cage. And that way it's protected from an EMP attack so that I can still power it on and read about how to survive for about an extra day or two before I die.
Right.
So it'd be great, you know?
There you go. And, you know, really, you know, honestly, with all of the things that we're talking about, the food preparedness and all that, you know, if nothing ever happens, you got, you know, food on your shelf in 25 years. When New Year's Eve, 25 years from now, comes around, you can have a big party.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I mean,
no harm, no foul.
And that's the thing. I mean, there's never a good time to buy extra food. You know, groceries are going up in price because of inflation.
You got that right.
You know, I went to the grocery store the other day and I bought a bag of grapes, two containers of blueberries, what else? I bought two bags of clementines and I bought something else. I can't remember, but it was $50.
Wow.
And and so obviously groceries are going up in price, right? But with Prepare with HLL, you're actually saving money. We're still giving discounts. Mm-hmm. And it's never a good time to put extra money into groceries when you're just scraping by. But that's why I say if you don't want to do this website, just buy canned goods, start stocking up because you're going to want to make sure you're prepared one way or another. So again, that's preparewithhll.com. Make sure you and your family are good. And like Dad said, I mean, if nothing happens, fantastic. But there is no sin in preparing for emergencies. Yep. It's silliness. I mean, if you just look at the last, let's just say the last 100 years of existing in America, has there ever been a time where people said, gee whiz, I wish I would have had some prepared food or wish I would have had survival gear? Tons of times. I mean, 2005, hurricane, what was it called? The one in New Orleans in 2005.
Katrina.
I mean, if you had the emergency preparedness food in these buckets, it's sealed off from water. It's still usable. So not just economic maybe global catastrophes of war and everything, but also environmental, you know?
Sure.
So anyways, I'm going to move off this, but I just wanted to just kind of spend some time talking about this because we are living in some very uncertain times. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that people who listen to the show take that into consideration when they're thinking about how they're going to react to the new world, the grave new world they find themselves in with their family. So that said, we have a fun guest coming on. We have Kirk from Bloomsburg, PA. How you doing, man?
Good. How we doing, guys?
Doing good.
Doing all right.
Doing good. So Kirk, I'm going to preface this whole conversation and we're going to talk to the audience real quick. Kirk has some poopy stories. I don't want your poopy stories, but Kirk is a special occasion because it actually is part of his job dealing with people's poopy pants. And so,
and sheets.
So, typically the idea is that I don't want to hear your poop stories, but because Kirk drives a truck and his part of his job is to deal with this kind of stuff, it's fine. But I didn't want this to be a flag in the air for everybody else to be like, oh, Tony's opening up the poop line stories again. Okay. You know, I got plenty of those. Pipe down, everybody. Don't get so excited. So Kirk, where do we start, buddy?
Oh man.
All right. So I kind of teased it a little bit, but what do you do for a living?
All right. So I work for a linen company. We deliver uniforms. We do like all the linen tablecloths and stuff for restaurants. We're a medical supplier, so we do all the hospitals, linen supply, and all that kind of stuff. Basically, I'm a laundry man.
Gotcha.
And it can be very dirty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like to me this is leading up to something that maybe Mike Rowe would want on Dirty Jobs.
Dirty Jobs.
Right? So,
yeah, I thought about the one day I was in the back of my truck and I was literally disgusting. And I'm thinking, why doesn't that guy on that TV show come here and interview us?
Right. Exactly. Come do this dirty job.
Yeah, it sucks.
I imagine doing that kind of work. Do you need a CDL for that truck or no?
No.
Okay.
No, we're, I think the truck I'm in, I think it's about 30 foot, but it's like, mm-hmm. as far as you could go on a regular driver's license before you need a CDL.
Yeah.
Right. Gotcha.
But I imagine a CDL or not, that job has a high turnover rate.
Surprisingly, no.
Shut up. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
The first time I get poop on my fingers, I'm out.
Well, so here we have a higher turnover rate in the plant with the people who have to count all the dirty laundry and clean it. You know, essentially, we're just going out and picking it up. Most of the time, the stuff should be in sealed bio bags and it's in a bin. All you got to do is pick it up, drop it off, and you're out the door. But it's not always.
Yeah,
that's that.
It's simple. Not always that clean.
He says most of the time, but if it was all the time, I wouldn't have poop stories.
Right,
so just most of the time.
Yeah, right. It does happen.
Well, all right. Let's. You know what?
Why don't you start there?
Yeah, might as well just start. Yeah,
let's get it
stories.
Out of the way.
Yeah. All right. I got a list of four different situations that I'm looking at here. I'm going to read them all off to you and the audience, and I'll let you kind of go into wherever you want to go. I got corn turd wiper, nursing home poop hamper, liquid poop bin, and salon turd that changed the game. Go. All right, Kirk, you're up.
Go.
Go.
All right. Well, I guess we'll start with the first time I've experienced poop on the job, which would be the nursing home poop hamper. So this was just after COVID hit and everything was locked down. We had another driver who was laid off and the route he ran was the route that I started the job on. So they had me. Now we run 4-day work weeks, so we have an off day to cover anybody if we need to on our day off. So my boss asked me if, you know, I could go in and cover that guy's route on that specific day. And I'm like, yeah, that's not a problem. So this stop is a nursing home. Now, we used to, before COVID, you would get their bins out with their clean laundry off your truck. And you'd go around to each end of the building. They'd let you in. You go in and you wheel it into their closet. And you go into the other room and you get their dirty. And you wheel that out. Well, after COVID, you're not allowed in anymore. So you got to let them know that you're there, and then they'll send somebody to wheel your bins out. So you got to wait outside. Well, this particular day was downpouring rain. I mean, like monsoon downpour. So I'm soaking wet and this is towards the end of my route, luckily. So I'm soaking wet and I'm standing outside waiting for this girl to come wheel out these dirty bins of laundry. And here she comes. Now outside the door is a flower garden that kind of drops off like maybe 6 inches. There's a concrete patch that drops off into the flower bed. Well, being that it was raining, she was in such a hurry to get it out the door and not get wet. So she opens it. Now this hamper is probably 6 feet tall and arms width stretched apart wide, and it's on wheels and it's filled with dirty, you know, you could imagine.
Right.
So it weighs probably close to 1,000 pounds. So she opens the door and she pushes this bin out the door and just walks away because she doesn't want to get wet. So as she pushes it, it's going towards that little drop off into the flower garden. And I'm thinking, there's no way I'm catching this thing. It'll crush me to death.
Right.
So it falls over. Nothing busted. Right. Thank God. I'm thinking, oh, whew, that was close, because this place is notorious for having loads of poop on our towels, because apparently they're using them to wipe all the residents in the whole facility. And the bin smells disgusting. So I got gloves on and I pick the bags up and I get it back in the bin and I wheel it over to my lift gate. I get the other bin down the other end. I come back, I get both the bins on my lift gate. And I start raising up. Mind you, this whole time it's downpouring rain and I'm soaking wet. So I stand on the lift gate with the two bins and I'm raising it up. well, I don't know if it was the wind or something, or if the wheels were wet. I'm almost all the way up to the inside of the truck. And guess what? The bin flies right off the side. All the bags of shitty towels bust open in the driveway.
Wow.
There's literally poop on the ground, on the bin, everywhere. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, at that point, I was thinking, is my job really worth it?
No, it's not.
It's not.
Right.
Is it really worth it?
It's time to look for a new job, man.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was thinking. So I'm like, I can't leave this here. So I went and got more gloves. I had to pick all this stuff up by the armful and get it back into the hamper, back on the truck, and load it up. So I get all that done, and I'm literally covered in it. It's on my shirt, my uniform shirt. It's on my shorts, everywhere. So I text my boss and I say, you just about lost a driver today. He said, why is that? I said, well, one of these bins fell off the lift gate at my stop and it busted shit towels all over the parking lot and all over myself. And he's like, oh, well, that sucks. And that's it, right? So when I get back to the plant, I walk in the route room covered in shit. And he goes, oh, you weren't kidding. I said, no, I wasn't kidding. You think I made it up? Well, I guess you did have a shitty day. I'm like, yeah, you're lucky. Yeah, that was almost a defining moment in my career right there.
Yeah,
I hear that.
No, I mean, that is, and you said that was the first time that you had something like that happen?
Yeah, that was the first time I've experienced feces on my route. Wow.
That's enough to make it the first and last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tony, this Tony, or no, you're not Tony. I'm looking at the wrong name. I'm sorry, Kirk. I was just looking at the next guy I have to interview. Kirk, I would not be there anymore. I don't think I could pull it off. I almost vomit every time I smell my daughter's diaper.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. My buddy tells me all the time, he's like, Kirk, I don't know how you do that job. He said,
yeah,
there's no way you could pay me enough money to do that. I said, well, it's not that common. It happens, but it's, you know, dude, there's the stuff they come across in the plant when they're counting stuff, like you wouldn't even want to know.
You can only imagine.
Because it's one thing to be the guy that goes and picks that bin up, because most of the time it's an in and out. You wheel it on your lift gate, you load it, and you're done. You don't come in contact with any of it. But
right. To
be the guy that has to break those bags down and separate all that laundry, nah.
Wow.
Sorry.
That has got to be a horrible job. I never even thought about that before. But man, now that you mention it, that'd be that's a game changer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they tell you this in the interview that this could happen?
No,
of course
they, not. They do offer you a hepatitis shot, and you know, on them, because they say, you know, we have medical stops and you might come in contact with a needle or something along those lines.
Or poop.
Yeah, right. Wow. But it's weird. Like, I never, like, when I've been there almost 3 years now, and not many people ever tell poop stories. I mean, there's a couple, but it's not like this one,
right?
You know, like, oh, did you guys get covered in shit today? No.
Well, don't go out to my truck. It has a little scent.
Yeah, right?
It's a little messy.
Well, so that's the thing, too. Like, whenever something like that happens, or there's, you come across blood or feces, or I did an animal hospital as one of my stops, and we changed their rugs, and their rugs were covered in dog pee every week. So stuff like that, you're supposed to isolate on the truck, either put it in a bag and keep it separate, and, you know, text the guy at the dock and let him know that you got something contaminated coming back, like give him a heads up. So we'll go to the next one, which is the liquid poop bin. This was actually more recently. Now, this was at a bar, and they have, it's like the big building, and upstairs they have apartments for rent. So I don't know. Now, we do the bar stuff and we do the apartment stuff. So all the bed linen for the beds upstairs, we do that. I don't know if somebody got drunk one night and went upstairs to bed drunk and shit the bed, but they always leave their bin full of soil right out on the sidewalk for you. And usually
nobody knows how to stack bags of soil, and they just kind of throw it. So you always got to break it down and lay it the right way so you could actually fit everything in the bin without it falling over. So I start taking the blue laundry bags off the top. Well, they hid. So all of the linen from upstairs, they didn't bag it. They put it all inside of our pillowcases and used that as their linen bag. Wow. Well, I get these blue bags off, and nowhere to lie, all of these bags of pillowcases and linen are covered in diarrhea. Literally covered in diarrhea. The inside of the bin is dripping brown diarrhea. And I went, nope. Threw all the blue bags back on top of it. Said, I'm not reorganizing nothing. So it's going right on the truck like this. So,
amen, brother.
I text the guy at the dock. I said, hey, man, just a heads up. I got a bin coming back today that's filled with diarrhea. So just a heads up. And I said, and it's above my pay grade. I said, it smells like it. It looks like it. But it's above my pay grade to examine any further. It's on you.
Wow.
And, yeah. And like, how?
Yep.
Why? You know what I mean?
That's the question. Why? Why would you do this?
And let's be real. Just throw it in the garbage.
Yes.
We're going to care less about a $20 sheet than we are having to handle on that.
Yeah. Oh, my word. Yeah. Holy cow. Yeah. That is nuts.
So in other words, it's passing the buck kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. You know, it's like, not my problem, not my stuff. Dempsey will deal with it, you know?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Wow. God bless you for doing it, dude. That's all I can say.
Somebody's got to do it, right?
And I'm glad it's you and not me.
Yeah. I think my family would be homeless if it was up to doing your job or
living in a tent somewhere.
Or living underneath a bridge. I'd be like, okay, guys, we're living under the bridge.
Yeah. Well, you got to figure 4 stories in 3 years ain't terrible, right?
I guess. True. I guess, you know.
It means that you had at least that happen twice in 1 year, though. Something bad happened twice in 1 year. It's
yeah, I guess.
Yeah, man. So what are we doing now?
We'll hop over to corn turd wiper. Okay. So this was at a garage, a guy, they do like their mechanics and they get like the red shop rags that they use to wipe stuff. Well, I go there to one day and he says, Kirk, let me show you something. Yeah, all right. And they only get uniforms in these red wipers. He says, and this was actually last Halloween. And he says, I'm all about a good joke and, you know, playing pranks on people. He said, but I just pulled this wiper out of the bag of clean wipers and I just thought I'd show it to you. So he gives it to me and he opens it up and it's literally dried shit with a corn kernel stuck to it.
That's disgusting.
Wow.
I said, are you messing with me? He's like, no, dude. Now, I don't know if it was a joke or not, but he claims it came out of our clean bag of red wipers, which I couldn't imagine would be true.
Yeah.
But you never know.
That just doesn't sound like that would make any sense.
No. It stunk and it had a corn kernel stuff.
I bet it did.
I have a picture of it. It's disgusting. I said, you got it. Like, why? Why me, man? Come on.
You know, 30 years in the driving industry and I have never come across any of this stuff. Which is why I do LTL and I don't do that.
We did have that one situation. Did I say it on the show about the fueler?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you did.
Yeah. Well, I'll say it again just so that people who haven't heard the story, I'll just make it brief. We had a fueler, very nice young lad, and he had, intestine issues where he basically had a 2-minute window before he had to go wherever.
When he knew he had to go, it was now or never. It was now or it's going to happen now.
He wound up squatting between two tractors and just dropping his load. And then he didn't clean it up.
Ugh,
and the next morning, a driver came in and stepped in it.
Wow.
So he got fired.
Yeah.
So yeah.
He's lucky he didn't get run over.
That's the only thing that I've ever heard of such in my industry.
Yeah.
And it didn't even happen to me. But I'm thinking that the salon turd that changed the game is the cherry on top.
Well, okay. So unfortunately, this is regarding my own.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, so we'll just throw that out there. So you guys all know what it's like to be on the road and having to poop really bad.
Yep.
Well, for me, I have the same stops Monday through Friday, every day of the week. So I know there's only certain spots that I will poop at, whether because they're dirty mm-hmm. or because they have super flushers, because I've been known to plug many toilets. So it was, I think it was a Friday, and it was right in the beginning of my route. And there was no, the stop on that day was at the end of the day. So if I needed to poop, I had to wait till the end of the day. Well, it wasn't happening. I wasn't going to make it. There's no way I would have made it. And like, you got the waddle going, and you know, we've right, all been
yep,
there.
Yep.
Well, luckily, you know, the place was closed. I had a key to get in and out. So I had privacy. I was alone, and I'm like, I really hope their toilet could handle this. Like, that's what I'm thinking, because like, I was so nervous, right? For whatever reason, ever since here we are talking about my bowel movements.
Right.
High fiber, folks.
Ever since I went on keto a few years back, and ever since then, for whatever reason, my poop has been massive. And I'm talking like cucumber massive. Anyway, that is that out of the way. I'm at this place, and I do my business, and I'm praying, please God, let it go down. Please God, let it go down. Well, it ain't going down. And I'm thinking, what in the world am I going to do? Right? I'm thinking, well, all right, I'll just leave it. And then I'm thinking, well, no, because then they're going to call my boss and say, your driver left a zucchini-sized turd in my toilet. He plugged my toilet. And I'm saying, I can't do that. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm like pacing. So I'm like, all right, I'll go, oh, man, maybe I'll go out in the truck and I'll get a plastic bag and some gloves and I'll try and get it out of there.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like, I don't know what to do. So at this point, I've walked out to my truck once or twice. And she has security cameras in there, so they're going to know
right.
It was obviously me, right? So I find an old pen in my truck, right? And I get latex gloves, and I put a plastic bag over my hand just to poke it enough with the pen to break it in half and get it down the toilet. Well, it worked. But now, ever since that happened, I have to carry an extra pen with me just in case.
Now you have the official turd pen.
Oh, yeah. My God. But seriously, what do you do?
You know what? You handled it right way. You didn't want to leave any evidence there for the customer to come in and find. Oh. You know, so it's all handled and it's out of the toilet. You're in good shape.
Exactly. That's what I thought, you know, for his discussing. And everybody I told that story to, I'm like, well, what would you do? Would you leave a turd in one of your customers' toilets?
Yeah,
I would.
You can't do that.
I was just thinking, like, if I was in that situation, I honestly might call my boss and be like, listen, this is the skinny, okay? And it's not too skinny, but here's the deal. I have a huge crap that I just dropped. It's not going down. And what would you like me to do with it, boss? because I'm fine leaving it here, but I need you to give me the okay on that.
Oh, man. I guess, too, like in my situation, it would have depended who the customer was, right, what the value of their stop was, you know, so on and so forth, what our relationship was like.
Yeah.
But I know if I called my boss and said, yeah, so I plugged their toilet, I don't know what to do, you would have said, get it out of there.
Right. Or it's your last day. Well, I guess it's my last day.
I think, right? I think instead of carrying a poop pen, you should carry chopsticks, because it's in the name, chopsticks. Chop it in half.
Well, I'll tell you, the one day at one of my other stops, same situation, and their toilet's questionable. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So all I had on me was my good pen, and there was no way I was using my Pilot G2 to smash a turd down a toilet. So I'm walking through some walkway outside between their buildings, and I found a stick, and I'm like, that's mine.
Yep. You know, it's funny. I watched a movie a little while ago. It's just like, you know, like an indie type of movie. It was just, you know, nothing that I'd ever, nobody you know who's in it or anything like that. And it's a comedy. And the, you know, what you need is a long handled wooden spoon That's your turd spoon. You take that with you everywhere you go. You keep it in your truck, and it's only for that. If you need it, it's there. this movie popped in my head. I'm like, yeah, exactly. You need a turd spoon, dude.
Oh, man.
And it's long-handled, so you don't have to worry about reaching in the water or nothing.
But the thought of reusing that was what skeeves me.
Well, you just you wash it. You let the when you flush the toilet, you let the toilet water wash it off, get it kind of clean. Then you take it over to the sink, soap it up, wash it. Take it along with you. Put it in a bag.
I'd rather just have one for every day and just use a new one every time.
I mean, wooden spoons, you can get them, dollar.
Not anymore. The price of lumber.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, good point.
Nowadays.
Just go outside and find a stick. You did the right thing.
Yeah. It's free.
Sticks are free.
Yeah, for now.
That's
for
it.
For now.
I guess that's the end of the poop stuff, huh?
Yeah.
That's all the poop. Oh, actually, well, these are.
No. You gave us four on the list. And we are 30 minutes into this show.
And we've talked nothing but poop.
Well, this is a real quick one. It didn't happen to me, but one of our other drivers, he had a guy at a restaurant and we had our carpets there and they had them in front of their bathroom doorways. Well, apparently the restaurant had a customer who couldn't make it to the bathroom in time and he just stopped, dropped trout and did it all over our rug.
Wow.
So it was the kid's first stop of the day. Well, he gets back to the plant at the end of the day and he's telling our boss what happened. And he's like, well, where is it? You got it isolated in the truck? He said, no, it's at the bottom of the dirty bin. All the other stuff's on top of it. I'm thinking, really, dude? Like, you couldn't put it somewhere separate? He just, needless to say, he doesn't work for us anymore.
Yeah. That was his first and last day.
Yep.
Holy crap.
Literally. Yeah, just threw it right in the bin with the dirty stuff and just piled everything on top of it for the rest of the day instead of isolating it and putting it somewhere else.
That's a gold star employee right there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I assume you guys have bags to put stuff like that in, right?
Oh, yeah.
They give you some kind of bags. I mean, there you go. It's just, like you said, isolate the thing, set it aside. Right. Holy crap, dude. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, you got rolls of plastic bags in the truck. You could double wrap, triple wrap.
Right.
Do whatever you want. You know, we definitely have ways to isolate stuff like that. And, we're told to and taught to with stuff like that, like body fluid and on and so forth.
Wow.
All right. Moving on. So
that's enough of that shit.
So I have. Oh, man. I've toyed with the idea in the past with these kind of conversations to call one of the episodes a real shit show.
There you go.
I think we might do that today. So, all right. I got your experiences categorized in three. We covered the poop category. We have the miscellaneous category and the paranormal category. So let's just go into the miscellaneous and then we'll save the paranormal for the end. But I do that strategically because I know we have a big audience here that enjoys the paranormal. So you have to listen to the whole show to get to the stuff.
There you go. Oh, look at you going. That's it.
What a good idea.
Yeah. About it. Come on now. I haven't been doing this. I've been doing this for a little while. So you have, let's start out with the Mustang driver choked out. Is that something that you did or you observed?
No, that's what I observed.
Wonderful.
So this was at the end of my day. Now, right now, I'm in a Penske rental truck because the lease ended on the company truck. And due to the supply chain issues, it's taking forever to get a new truck built. So this truck has 180 horsepower and I don't know how many thousands of pounds of dirty laundry I'm carrying at the end of my day. Needless to say, it's very slow and it takes a long time to get up to speed. So I'm getting on the on-ramp to 180, heading back down towards the plant. And a big rig in the right lane, he's going and I get on behind him. And I look in my mirror, and you could probably see easily a half a mile distance behind me. Mm-hmm. There's nobody. So I get on, I merge, and then I go to get in the left lane and pass this big rig. Well, as soon as I get in the passing lane, there's a Mustang on my bumper immediately. Like, this guy had to be going 150 miles an hour for how fast. Because when I looked, how fast it takes to move over from one lane to the next.
Yeah.
In that split second, there's a Mustang on me. And he's flashing me, high-beaming me. I'm like, dude, you came out of nowhere, man. Like, sorry. I'm trying to pass this guy. So he gets so mad. Now it takes me 10 minutes to pass this truck because, you know, I'm probably only going 3 miles an hour faster than he is. This Mustang cuts over to the right side of the big rig on the shoulder to pass that truck on the shoulder. And as soon as he did, there was a small gap where he was able to have eye contact with me. And I look over like, dude, you're going to get somebody killed or yourself killed. And he like gives me this death stare, like, how dare you try to pass a truck, you know? And I'm like,
right.
So he flies by, I'm gone, right? And I'm like, I'm going to see him dead halfway down the road. So I finally get past this truck, get over in the right lane. And sure enough, the next exit, I see this Mustang hit the guy that just passed me, parked off at the stop sign at the exit ramp. And there's another car that's got him blocked off on the, like he cut him off at the stop sign. And this other driver literally had his hand in the window of the Mustang choking the guy out. So I don't know if he like, they had some kind of interaction on the road and this guy cut him off and choked him out through his window. And I'm like, well, it serves you right, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Road rage.
Seriously. I was like, dude, you made somebody mad.
Yeah. Way mad. I don't encourage road rage, but sometimes you're like, I didn't see nothing. I'm just going to keep going.
Well, I mean, that guy acted out everything that we desire to do sometimes.
Yeah. You got that right.
Yes,
I mean,
sir.
You see that you know, people do insane, stupid stuff on the road, and you just wish you had the opportunity to choke them out. And this guy's like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. You wish you weren't driving a 48-foot billboard down the road.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Or you were getting ready to quit or in a position to not care if you got fired, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, but hey,
wow.
Good on that guy.
Yep.
He did what we all wanted to do, so he did it for us. He took one for the team.
That's right.
I just wish I could have saw how it got to that point.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Wow.
So what's up with this irate pizza guy?
Okay, so this was on my last route. I was on a smaller route, retail route, where I was in a step van, like one of the UPS trucks. And I had a lot of... This was a lot of small stops, like pizza places and small restaurants. So I go in, and this is downtown Bloomsburg, right around the university, College Central. And this guy says, Kirk, somebody stole all of our stuff. I said, what do you mean somebody stole our stuff? Well, they kept their soil bag out back in an alley because it smelled bad and they didn't want it in their kitchen. So they left it out back. And he said, somebody stole the soil bag. I said, really? He's like, yeah, it's gone. I said, all right, well, I guess I'll have to do an inventory and see what's missing. And we're going to have to bill you for what's lost. He's like, what do you mean? I said, well, it says on your invoice, you're responsible for lost, stolen, and damaged linen. I didn't steal it. I said, well, I'm not saying you stole it. I said, but it got stolen on your property. You're responsible for it.
Mm-hmm.
He's freaking out. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I said, okay, well, don't do it. So I leave. Now, every time you get like you're late on your bill, they would accrue like a $10 late charge every week until you paid it.
Mm-hmm.
So my boss is telling me, don't cave, make them pay it. Make them pay it. We're not budging. Make him pay it. So this guy's bill, which is normally $50, is now up a lot, right? Because he just keeps getting this late fee and is refusing to pay the bill. So I go in and he's up to like $130, $140, something like that. And I said, bud, you haven't paid the bill in a few weeks. I won't be able to make another delivery until it's paid. Well, he's cursing us out. I'm going with somebody else. You guys are blah, blah, blah. I said, buddy, look, here's the deal. I said, do you have cameras out back? He said, yeah, I got cameras. I said, if you can prove that somebody stole the stuff and you take it to the police and you press charges or open an investigation, whatever you want to do, you'll get restitution and you'll get it paid back to you. I said, but for the time being, if you want another delivery, you have to pay it. Well, this guy comes up from behind the counter
and he's ready to punch me. He brings his arm back, and I'm like, oh, here we go. Dude, he's freaking out, going to choke me. And I'm thinking, buddy, you need to relax or I'm going to put you down on the ground like immediately. This is all over like $30 worth of towels and aprons. Like, you're going to have a lot bigger problem here. You know, chill out. So I get the guy to calm down, and I've never seen a guy so mad in my life. It was unbelievable. So I said, look, we'll work with you. We'll figure out how to get it paid. Don't worry about it. I said, this isn't worth it. I said, the police are going to be here. This is going to turn ugly. Drop it. Fine. But I'm not paying the full amount. So I tell my boss what's going on. He said, all right, I'll deal with it. I'll call him. I go in the next week. Guess what? Someone stole the stuff again.
Wow.
Gone. Right now, all we could think is that some kid in a dorm room is using this bag stand and linen bag for a hamper inside his dorm room or something. Mm-hmm. But they're taking all the dirty laundry in it also. So my boss ended up working with the guy and settled on some kind of deal to pay whatever, and the guy paid it. But the stuff got stolen like 2-3 more times after that. And the guy had a brother that had another pizza place in a different town that I ran. And they're telling me that they know who's messing with them. They got the mafia involved. These people are going to be dead. And I'm thinking, dude, it's $30 worth of towel and apron. Like, these guys are at, like, blowing gaskets trying to fight their linen driver over this, you know? It was nuts, man. The guy, he lost it. And ever since then, like, the guy, after we squashed that deal, he'd like give me a free soda. He was like, I was his best friend.
Wow.
It's like, it was nuts.
You get the Godfather involved for linen. He's like, yeah,
seriously.
That's how I know he's lying. Go ahead. You're going to get the mafia involved over $30 worth of linen. I don't think so. Yeah. I think they got other things they're going to be doing. And unless it's slow, unless, you know, the Joe Biden's economy and crackdown and ruling has been doing just so amazingly perfect that they have nothing else to do because they just, the crackdown's there and they have to just kind of find work where they can, and they're working on the missing linen case.
putting out a contract on the linen guy. Stole my stuff.
Yep.
I mean, anything's possible, I guess. But
I don't know what was so hard to understand. Like, you're responsible for lost, damaged, stolen items. It's on your invoice. You've been with us for how many years? You know this.
Well, okay? It's common sense.
Oh, I didn't steal it. I didn't steal it.
Well, no kidding. You didn't steal it.
You did.
Yeah. You're responsible if it gets stolen from your premises.
Yeah.
If it got stolen from your premises. What part of this aren't you getting, dude?
Just didn't get it.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, let's keep it on the
your job's exciting, dude.
it can be, that's for sure.
This is the beauty of doing what I do. I don't deal with anybody.
Yeah, you don't socialize.
I don't socialize with anybody. It's just me and the podcast stuff, you know, Tim Pool and, you know, Tony Merkel and, you know, Charlie Robinson.
And
Wes Germer.
And don't forget the Obama podcast you started listening to.
Oh, yeah. Of course. I listen to that all the time. That one and the Hillary one.
Yes.
I'm dedicated.
Well, that is the best part of my job is the listening freedom I have.
Yes. Isn't it great?
In the truck. Yeah.
Yeah. And now you're on one.
Yeah. Right.
You had a podcast, right?
I did. It was conspiracy related, QAnon related, all that kind of crap.
Was it fun?
Yeah, it wasn't very big. It kind of pulled the plug on it due to some other unforeseen circumstances, but
that's cool though. You know, you put your foot out, you know, you put yourself out there and did it. That's really kind of cool, man.
Yeah.
I think it is. Did you enjoy doing it though? I mean, that's the question.
Oh yeah,
you enjoyed doing it.
Yeah.
Good.
I would like to get back into doing it cuz I got saved and became a born again Christian 2 years ago. And I would like to interview people and hear their testimonies.
That's a cool idea. That is really cool.
Yep.
Well,
I like that.
There's no better time to start than now. You got a good microphone, so
that's
all you need.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
So talk to me about punching steering wheels.
Okay, so this was the reason I wrote this down is I think it was a couple weeks ago I was listening to your episode. It was the voicemail show. And he had one of the pit guys on. And one of these were talking about when you get mad, you punch the ceiling. punched something. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, but it was Tony. He used to punch the ceiling.
Yeah. Well, this was
so often that my knuckles were calloused.
Oh man. Well, this wasn't on the job. This was just something that it reminded me of when I was like 16 or 17 years old. My dad worked for an insurance company and he had a company vehicle. And I was playing in a band and we were driving to our show somewhere. And I got so mad at something, I punched the steering wheel as hard as I could and the horn stuck. And I'm like, uh-oh, that ain't good. So we get out and we pop the hood and my buddy pulls the fuse on the horn. And I had to tell my dad, I said, Dad, something happened with the horn. It just started blowing and it stuck. We had to pull the fuse. He said, well, it just doesn't happen, Kirk. I said, I don't know. I said, some guy cut me off. I think I hit the horn too hard. He's like, yeah, whatever. So he takes us to the shop. Turns out I literally destroyed and blew out the entire contacts in the airbag. Yep. Wow. He's like, now I got to lie to the insurance company and tell them that your mother almost had a collision and she hit the horn too hard.
Now I got to commit insurance fraud, son. You're putting me in a tough bind. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever told this story on the show. I think I told you, Dad. So it was towards the end of my tenure at Pitt, Ohio. And so there was days that, you know, I was working ahead of schedule. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to have like a 7-hour day. This is great. And sometimes, you know, it worked out that way. Sometimes they're like, okay, go do a drop and hook somewhere. I'm like, all right, cool. But there was this one place that I absolutely hated all the time. And it was because it was literally right next door to the terminal, but they didn't finish loading the trailer you're picking up until at least 5 o'clock. So it didn't matter how early you got there, you're still sitting.
Right.
And, you know, I remember that I came back early the one day and instead of, you know, sending me somewhere else, using me for their location, they just sent me next door and it was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm just like, we have all these drivers that are going to be coming down this road today.
No, anybody,
somebody can grab this when it's actually ready.
Right.
And I was irritated cause I just wanted to get home. You know, I was getting spoiled with my run and, I wound up sitting there till like 6:30, 7 o'clock at night till they were finally done.
Wow.
And I was heated. I was pissed off, angry, because now I'm one of the, like, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like one of the last guys leaving and I should, you know, I was just mad. And, I walk around the truck and I dropped the trailer. So I was pulling the pin out and, I'm walking by the passenger side door and I just hauled off and I punched that thing. And it like there was an actual dent in the door. And then after I hit, I was just like, ow.
Yeah, I guess so.
But in the moment I wasn't even thinking about it. I was just angry. I just wanted to hit something. And there was a knuckle print in the door. But yeah, so that was my punching the truck story. Well, one of them, I should say. But all right, so let's chop it here. We have two more left of my miscellaneous category. What do you want to hit? Hitting a wheel and totaling a car, or the Christmas Eve flagpole?
I guess we'll do Christmas Eve flagpole is the one and only accident I ever had. Okay. And this was, I started in October, and this happened Christmas. So it was like literally a couple months after I started. The route I was on was in my hometown and I was in Bloomsburg and there was a pizza place literally a block from my house that I delivered to. And they had a little small driveway that you had to back into next to a post office. So, and I was literally probably only a month maybe by myself. And it was Christmas Eve and I'm going to back in this driveway and I'm beep, 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 beep. Well, I see this lady come out of the post office, flailing her arms, yelling, screaming. I'm like, what is she doing? Like, leave me alone. And I just kind of ignore her, like, still backing up till I'm fully in. And I shut the truck off, park it, and she comes up to my window. I'm like, what does this lady want? Right? So I wheel the window down and I go, can I help you? She goes, yeah, you gonna pay for our flagpole you just took out? I'm like, what?
I go in the back, I look, their flagpole's bent in half down. Like, and I'm like, oh man, I'm sorry, I didn't even see it. I call my boss. I say, I just hit a flagpole, bent it in half. He's like, oh, is anything broke other than that? I said, no, it doesn't look like it. Just kind of pushed it and bent it down. All right, well, we'll do an incident report. You got to go for a P test when you get back and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, man. So the problem was, it's my local post office and I'm there all the time. And every time I'm there now, the lady's looking at me like, you're the guy that hit our flagpole.
Like,
you know?
like it's hers. Like she paid out of pocket for it.
And luckily though, it didn't cost us any money because some guy in town like hooked a winch up to it with his quad and just pulled it straight. So, I mean, luckily we got away with having to pay any damage or anything, but
I hate that kind of attitude though. It's like they come over acting like you did it on purpose. And it's like, right. Yeah, are you going to pay for that flag? No, I'm not. But the company will. Shut up.
I said, well, if it's damaged, yeah, well, obviously we'll have it fixed. But it, like, she's acting like I'm just going to pull my wallet out and hand her some bills to go fix the flagpole. Like,
right.
Sorry, lady.
Just not going to happen that way.
Yeah. So it's always awkward every time I go in there for a stamp or something.
Oh, I hear it.
It just annoys me. That kind of stuff annoys me. Like, first of all, it's not even your property. Second of all, you're taking this way too personal. Like, like, shut up.
Yeah.
Get a life. I mean, seriously. All right. Hitting a wheel and totaling a car.
All right. So this was right after I got saved. And you both are well aware of how spiritual texts work when somebody gets saved. Mm. And I was getting it on all fronts for like the first 2 months, every angle. Well, my one buddy, my best friend since I've been kindergarten, him and I came to the revelation together. And through all our conspiracy stuff and everything, but he was a little more hesitant to get saved at the same time I was. So I had given him, he had an external hard drive and I said, bring it down the house and I'll fill it up with a bunch of content for you to read. You know, it was ebooks and videos and sermons and testimonies and all. So I gave him probably a terabyte worth of content, you know, to help sway him into making his decision. Well, it was literally the very next morning on my way to work, like a mile and a half from my house. I get on the 80 and I'm going to pass a truck and I get over. As soon as I get in the left lane to pass this truck, I don't know if it fell off a dump truck or a big rig, but there was a wheel, not a tire, a wheel with the tire on it.
Wow.
Right in the middle of the passing lane. And this is as soon as I get over to pass him. So if I swerve right, I hit this truck. If I swerve left, I hit a mountain. So I'm like, I guess I'm hitting it. So I just hunkered down. It totaled my car. The airbags went off, everything. Like,
wow.
I literally crawled out of the door up the hill, like tears in my eyes in a panic, not knowing what the heck just happened. And I'm like, It was nuts. And I'm like, what are the chances the day after I give my buddy all of that content?
Right.
Like, you know, it was just like, boom, 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 one after another. And it sucked, man, because that was the first car that I owned outright. And I said, like, when I pay that off, I said, I'm keeping this forever because I was stupid when I was young and I didn't listen to my dad. And he said, you know, don't roll over payments in another vehicles. You'll regret it. You'll regret it. Well, I did it with two vehicles and ended up paying like $15,000 more for this car than what it was worth.
Wow.
And I had it paid off and it only had 70,000 miles on it. It was brand new.
Wow.
And it totaled it. Done. I said, what are the chances, man?
Yep.
Was it like a tractor trailer size or like
a
car?
Yeah. It was big. Yeah.
On the rim and everything else.
See, that's what we tell people. Like, you know, I'm glad you shared that because we tell people about how, you know, if you're hovering next to a tractor trailer and there's a blowout, that's just a blowout, you know, these things are heavy, heavy.
Yep. Yeah. Enough to total my car.
Yes, sir.
For sure.
Yes, sir.
And the cop came and he's like, what happened? He said, did you hit somebody? I said, no, I hit a wheel. He said, a tire. I said, no, a wheel. He said, well, all right, we'll go find it. Well, it was like 500 feet up the highway. They found the gouge on Interstate 80 where the rim scraped. the whole way up, and they found it and they got it off the road. I said, it was only a matter of time before somebody else came by and hit it.
Yep. Yep. That is crazy.
Yeah.
But what I was thinking, like, what did this come from? Like, is there a truck driving around without a wheel right now and he doesn't know it?
Yeah, probably. On a trailer. There's a trailer rolling around out there without a tire.
He probably had something done, some work done. They didn't tighten it down.
Actually, you know, if it's a regular trailer, like a regular trailer tire, you know, there's two of them. Two on each, you know, each side of tandem. So he's got two tires that are laying around on the road somewhere. Yep. You know, it's exciting.
I was grateful, you know, it wasn't in front of me when it came off and flew through my windshield or something or killed me. But
Yes, sir. You got that.
I really didn't anticipate the impact when I hit it. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. They're really heavy. Hit that at 50, you know, even if you're just doing 55 and you're on 80. So I imagine you're probably doing, you know, speed limit 65. You know, so that'll scare the crap out of you, dude.
They put me in the newspaper and everything.
Wow.
Man hits tire. And I'm like, it wasn't a tire.
It was the whole freaking thing.
Yeah.
Rim it all.
And my insurance boned me on it. They labeled it an at-fault accident.
How?
I don't know. But I went through so many hoops and rings with them.
That's debris in the road. That's not your fault.
Yeah, it was a roadbed collision. Wow. I told him, I said, if I swerve right, I hit the truck. I swerve left, I'm dead.
Right.
How is this an at-fault accident?
They're like, well, you should have thought about that before you made that decision. You should have swerved left and died, okay? You wouldn't have to do anything.
You should have thought about that before you got on the highway. What were you thinking? You know, it's crazy.
So that I got one more year before that comes off my record.
That's nuts. That's why I drive a car that has 341,642 miles on it. Yes, sir. My 2001 Toyota is still driving, still running, and I love it.
That's funny. That's what I actually bought after. I was like, you know what? I'm not going into another car payment. I'm going to take this check. I'm going to go buy an old car.
Yep.
And I think I bought a 2002 Corolla.
There you go.
And it had like 90,000 miles on it. Uh-huh. Needless to say, I screwed myself because something was wrong with it, and it ate oil like it was going out of business. Like every 2 weeks, I was putting like 3-4 quarts in it. I said, you know what? This was dumb. I'm going to buy a new car.
Right.
I just got bad luck of the draw on it, I guess.
That's not that bad. I mean, the price of oil isn't that high.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Right. Yeah, it's going to be $6 a quart soon, you know? Like, holy crap.
I take every opportunity I can these days to make stabs. It is what it is. Okay, so let's get into some of this paranormal stuff that you've experienced, and we're going to start right here with the disappearing car on Route 45.
All right, so this is probably the weirdest one. So I don't know if you guys have ever been out. My route is in State College in Williamsport. So I'm out in State College 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. And it's 45 straight shot the whole way out. Well, when I first started going out that way, you know, we get on the road super early in the morning, so it's dark. And I'm always listening to some conspiracy related, the Bible, the confessionals, whatever it is, you know. I think I've listened to your entire catalog within a month. So I'm always on the lookout for things, and I'm driving through the Harry John State Forest, and I always just got a real weird vibe driving through that area. And I'm like, where is it? Like, I'm always looking for something. Like, I know one day I'm going to see something here. It's going to happen. So this one morning I'm coming through, I get to the beginning of the forest. Now, the Harry John State Forest is massive. It's a big chunk of property. There's a car in front of me, probably within 100 feet. We're going up the hill. Now, there's no houses. There's no businesses. There's nothing. It's just forest. That's it. So we're going up over the hill. He gets to the top, crests over the hill. I get to the top. By the time I got to the top, he was gone. His car literally disappeared. It was nowhere. And it wasn't like he just was going fast and sped down the mountain and was out of my vision. There was probably like a half a mile worth of road you could see in front of you. And I'm like, there's no way. There was no roads to turn off of. There's no driveways, nothing. Like, and it was probably a matter of 3 to 5 seconds by the time he crossed the hill to when I did, and it was gone.
Wow.
Just gone. Disappeared. So I'm like, I was thinking about this the other day. I'm like, there's got to be, I said, I wonder if there's like any Bigfoot or Dogman reports in this area.
Right.
So I went on DuckDuckGo and I type in Woodward, Pennsylvania, Harry John Forrest Bigfoot sightings. Then I come across this Bigfoot research, I forget their name, but they have a live map overlay that they put on Google Maps that shows you all the reported Bigfoot sightings in Pennsylvania. And you could click on it and it'll tell you the story of what was reported.
Wow.
Well, sure enough, right where I saw that car disappear was a Bigfoot sighting. And I said, you got to be kidding me. I knew there was something about this place. It blew my mind. I had no clue what happened to that car. Gone. It was just gone.
It was a portal.
Something, man. I mean, I'm thinking,
I don't know. I talked to a guy not too long ago on the other show, and he talked about something similar with like a truck or a car turned down a road that had a dead end and it was just gone. He said there's like literally nowhere it could have gone. And it just disappeared. I don't remember if I actually aired that interview yet or not, but yeah, I've heard of it. I've heard of the disappearing car phenomenon. Makes you wonder if whatever happens after that car disappears, like what do they experience?
Right. And yeah, right.
Do they even know they disappeared? Do they just slip into another dimension reality?
Or is it a ghost car?
Could be a ghost car. Could be a ghost car.
Like Phantom 309. Look that song up. Google it. Spotify it. Go for it.
I will not, but
it's an old trucker song. So I'm just putting it out there.
No, yeah.
I mean Phantom 309 is all about that.
Certainly could be a ghost car.
Yep.
But
I'm just giving people something to look up, you know. Give them something to do this afternoon after, you know, they're done doing whatever they're doing.
Oh, I'm sure the older crowd that listens to stuff knows exactly what you're talking about.
They do.
So they're like, oh, yeah, Brian, we haven't heard that since yesterday.
You know, the old truckers are listening. They know that song.
I guess.
By Red Sovine.
Okay. All right.
My age is showing, right?
No, I don't like engaging in conversation that bores me. So
that's a
ouch.
And he talks to me anyway.
So let's talk about the haunted church. Now you said this was a place you were delivering to.
Yeah. So one of my stops was a church in Danville, and it was only every other week, and all they got was rugs. And a lot of our stops, we start so early that a lot of our stops aren't open yet. So they'll give us keys or whatever to go in and do what we need to do and bounce. Well, I was going to this place for, I don't know, 6 months. And it was one of my first stops in the morning every other Friday. And you're there by yourself. You have a key fob and you got to change all the rugs inside this church. And I always just had this real weird vibe going in there. And I was like, just uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I asked some of the other guys, like, if they ever had anything that they saw or heard there. And I said, no, it's just a church, man. I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. So the one day I had a guy with me and we get there and he goes through the pulpit and I go straight down to the back and cut back around behind the pews to go to the lobby, change those rugs. So he goes through the pulpit over into the kitchen to change the rugs in the kitchen. Well, when we're walking back, he already finished and he walks out. So I'm turning the corner. I see him up the hallway by the door where we came in at. So as I'm walking up along the pews, I see him walking through the pulpit. And I'm like, what? Did I just see that right? Like, I swore it was him. He came. Now, so as I get up along the pews coming through this doorway, the doorway in the side of the pulpit meets right where I'm walking, but he's in front. I just saw him in front of me. So as this thing or whatever it was comes walking towards that door, by the time I cross it, the door slams shut right in my face. And I'm like, dude, is there somebody here? He's like, what do you mean? I was like, somebody just walked through that pulpit and slammed the door in my face. He's like, there ain't nobody here. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning. We're the only ones here. I said, you didn't hear or see anybody? He said, no. I said, dude, literally, I just watched what looked like you walk across the pulpit and slam the door right in front of my face. I was like, didn't you hear it? So yeah, I just thought it was you closing the door or something. I said, we're getting out of here. So from that point on, I switched it on my route to later in the day, because I wasn't going there by myself at 6 o'clock in the morning anymore.
Right.
I was going at the end of my route when there were people there and it was daylight.
I'm a people person. I want to go where there's people.
Yeah. It was what, like, you know, that weird vibe feeling you get. Yeah. And I swore it was the guy that was riding with me that was walking through the pulpit, and it wasn't, because he was up in front of me at the doorway.
Was it an old church?
Probably. It's definitely not new.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's fairly older.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't know, man. I always had a weird vibe. Well,
you know,
and all that stuff too also happened right around the time where I was on the fence with Christianity and reading the Bible and getting into all that stuff. So, like I said, it was coming at me from every angle, everywhere. You know.
Yep. It's not. You only know, years ago when I was a kid, you know, back in the Stone Ages, I used to
when they played that music that you were just talking about.
I'll put it to you this way. It's so long ago that I used to help a guy at the church that we used to go to when you were a kid.
Uh-huh.
We were doing painting and I was a kid, and we would drive from the church to the 7-Eleven, and me and my friend sat in the back of the pickup truck driving up to 7-Eleven for, you know, lunch or whatever we were doing. But it was one of the things that I noticed is when you start turning out all the lights in a church at night, when you're all done and you're cleaned up and we're getting ready to go home and you're turning out all the lights, all of a sudden that becomes the scariest place in the world. It's like, and you start hearing all the noises and all the settling and all. And as I don't know what it is, but like, that's a scary place to be in the dark.
Yeah. No,
I was, you're walking down the hallway and then you're running down the hallway. You know, it was a big church. So, you know, you're trying to turn out all the lights and get out as fast as you can, because it's just got to creep. And I don't know why. I mean, you know, it's the house of God. It shouldn't feel that way, but it does.
There's probably demons there.
You know, it just feels weird.
If you think about it, I mean,
I don't know. I'm just saying, it's just so I can appreciate what you're saying here, Kirk. I mean, it's just, it's really, it's kind of an odd feeling. I don't get it, but it is.
You know, sort of thing too, like with how corrupt the church is today.
And, right.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me that there's demons in the church.
Right. Yeah.
I personally have a take where it's just like, well, if you were just mentioning about spiritual warfare, you would think that there would be spiritual warfare where people are going to worship God. So,
because I mean, point.
It's just a building. So,
you know.
But I was going to ask you about that, Dad, because I was going to ask you if you've ever felt like spooked out in the church, because I have. Yeah. Every church I've ever gone to where I was there last and stuff, I was like, this is
turning out the lights and doing it. Yeah, whatever. Yep. I don't know why, but it just is.
Yeah, I'm not, like, it's just not.
I don't know if it's just that it's a big building, a lot of open space, and there's a lot of doors, you know, and things just makes sense. I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
But, it, you know, it is what it is.
I don't know. I mean,
that's when you start praying. Yeah, you're walking through and turning out lights. I'll tell you, like, all right, Lord, just get me out of here safely.
I'll tell you what, though, maybe that is, there's something to that, because when I was delivering copy machines, I used to go in. I used to be like the first one in. I think I said on the show I would actually try pushing up on the garage doors until I found one that was unlocked overnight, right. And I'd go in that way. Well, when I'd be in there by myself in this warehouse, you know, loading the trucks up. You know, I remember getting creeped out. Yeah, like, I was just like, it's kind of creepy in here, you know? And then, you know, you're looking at your run sheet and you're like, oh, that machine's all the way in the back where the lights are off right now.
Yep.
And so you're like, I think it's a good time to take a break until somebody else shows up.
Yeah. It was the same way when I was a security guard years ago, you know, when I did that before, I don't know when the heck that was. That was in between, you know, different jobs, and you're walking around big places. And I think it's just, sometimes it's just the size of the place. Yeah. It's usually relatively dark. There's a lot of shadow. There's a lot of, you know, just a lot of open space and a lot of, you know, building settling type of stuff going on. And you're just like, this is just creeping me out, man. You know, I wasn't a really good security guard.
I've heard stories from security guards. It's a creepy job.
It is. It's a
creepy job.
Yes.
So maybe there is something to just the idea of a big building and stuff. But, you know, Kirk, it sounds like you actually saw something bizarre.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've heard of that. I mean, I've talked to people who've had real paranormal experiences in churches, and you know, it happens. So, I think the last two here are UFO stuff, both, or no, one you experienced and one a coworker did. Is that what you said?
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't you start with the one you experienced?
All right, so this one was the UFO taillights in Danville. I was on my way to work, And when you get on Route 11, you get off 80 and you head down to Route 11. It's the only way to get into the town where I work. It's right along the river, and it's right on the other side of the river is Merck, the pharmaceutical company. Mm-hmm. Lord knows there's nothing shady going on there, right?
Of course not.
So there was this car in front of me, and he was probably a couple hundred feet up, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning. We're like, there's not many vehicles on the road. I'm behind him, and all I see is his taillights. He's driving, and all of a sudden, they just go straight up. Not forward, they go up, to the left, through the woods, out over the Susquehanna River, and take off down the river. And I'm thinking, what? Did I just see that right? And I get up and around, and that whole stretch of 11 there, it's a long shot. You could see a mile, you know, and I get up and he's not on the road. He floated over to the river and took off.
Wow.
Yep. Real strange.
That is strange.
So what are your thoughts on that? I mean, certainly, I mean, was it a go-go gadget car or what?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Honestly,
it's either a UFO or ghost lights.
Well, considering what Merck being right there and how far my conspiracy runs with all that kind of stuff,
right?
It wouldn't doubt me that it was some kind of government crap. You know, it's right there across from, I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah. It's a neat story though. Crazy neat, you know?
Well, I'm just trying to think. Like, I mean, did it actually look like a car to you, or was it just the lights that you assumed it was a car?
It looked like a car. It totally looked like a car, but I mean, it was dark and it was a couple hundred feet away where, sure, you know, you could see it's a car and you see the taillights, but then,
wow,
I don't know, man. It was strange. It just floated up, left, and right down the river. Huh. Yep.
That's bizarre.
That is.
Yeah, strange.
That's bizarre.
Yep.
Well,
and the whole way into work, I'm thinking, what did I just see?
Yep.
Like, there's no way. Like, he had to pull off somewhere or something. But I'm like, that doesn't justify these taillights floating upward through the woods. And then this vehicle of whatever flying at like hyperspeed down the river.
That is, wow. Yeah,
strange.
That is strange.
Huh. Yep. I don't know. I'm looking at it on the map right now, Danville. I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard of anybody saying weird, like government material or not material, bases, like, you know, underground bases and stuff up there. But at the same time, why not? I mean,
anything's possible.
And this kind of relates to the last story. And I emailed you about this a couple weeks ago, if you remember, about the Dornsife Mountain and how right after. So let me tell the story first, and then we'll get into that. My other coworker and our supervisor were on the route the one day, and they were coming around the backside of Sunbury going towards Dornsife. And there was a UFO. It was shiny metallic, like it reflected the sun off it to where it would blind you. And it was a clear day. There was no clouds, nothing. And he said, my boss told him, he said, pull over. So he pulls over and they get out of the truck and he's walking around the front of the truck and they're looking at this thing. Well, it was tailing them the whole way along the ridge of Dornsife Mountain. Mm. And he said, they're standing there looking at this thing and then it just poof, gone, disappears. Well, like for weeks after that, my buddy would say, I'm still seeing weird stuff over Dornsife Mountain. He's like, there's stuff in the air like UFOs that they just disappear into the mountain, or they just vanish, or they take off really fast. And he said, you know, it's weird. He said, because I just saw, and this was in the newspaper, that the NOAA bought a piece of land to use for military testing and training 15 miles from that spot. And I'm thinking, if we know there's a government contractor there working on all this stuff 15 miles from where we're seeing weird stuff in the sky, and these things are disappearing into the mountain, why wouldn't there be a dumb there?
Yeah.
You know, and that, you know, from Danville, it's not very far. I mean, especially in an aircraft, I mean, 5 minutes less.
Huh. Well, maybe there is something to it. I mean, like, my mind is, you know, wandering here. But I am Danville is pretty much a straight shot north from Raven Rock.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, you know, and then, and Raven Rock's pretty much a straight shot north from Camp David, which, you know, I believe Camp David is connected to Raven Rock. So, interesting. Well, interesting. Yeah, interesting.
And the article in the Northumberland County paper was commissioners approved deal to use AOAA as training site. And it's Northumberland County commissioners approved a deal for Oak Grove Technologies to use the Anthracite Outdoor Adventure Area as a location for special training. And if you go to Oak Grove Technologies website, you see who all of their clients are. And it's all special forces, military, you know, all that kind of stuff. So they bought a chunk of land right there around Thornsife for special training.
Huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was. Okay.
I mean, Pennsylvania has really some prime land for secretive activity like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of open space in PA. Tons. I mean, it's a big state.
Like you got, like I would say from east central to southeast PA is all city,
right?
You know, from, you know, the Lehigh Valley down to Philadelphia,
yeah, heavily populated.
But from northeast to northwest,
all the way across the northern tier,
it's completely
very open.
Yeah, and then you got the Pittsburgh area in the southwest. But then in between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, there's a lot of nothing other than Harrisburg, which is, you know, if you can call that a city. But
and the Harry John, man, the Harry John where I saw the car disappear isn't far from Danville either. That whole area, it's all within one big radius of itself.
Mm. Wow. Yeah.
That's interesting. That's interesting. You know, maybe there's something going on in PA. Maybe I'll take my house off the market and stick around here for a little while.
Don't do it. Get out of here.
Yeah. That was tongue in cheek for sure. Yeah. I am getting out of the communist state of Pennsylvania.
Wow, it's a commonwealth.
No, communist. It's a communist.
It's a communist wealth. Ooh, that's like communist an oxymoron, isn't it? Yeah. Communist wealth.
It turned communist in 2020. So
you got that right.
Yeah, buddy. All right. Well, that is interesting stuff, my man. And, yeah,
it really is.
And you took us for, you know, 10 different directions. Yeah. And I kind of like it. I kind of like it.
Yeah, man. It's a good time.
It was. It was great. It was really great.
And trust me, I got plenty more, but I'm in queue in the confessionals line. So,
oh, are you cool?
Well,
that's all right. You know, you send us another email, we'll get you back on.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I get new stories driving weekly.
I hear that. You had a safe day on Friday? Because I'll tell you what, Thursday night was no fun.
Oh, man. It was.
What was Thursday night?
It was fun. I had to go
to sleep. Sport. Freezing rain all night long.
I didn't know.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it took me a lot longer to get. And
yeah,
I go through Lewisburg up 15 all the way into Williamsport on Fridays, and I got halfway there, and they had flashing lights and guys out there with vests. And where are you going, Williamsport? No, oh, you got a detour, so they take you all the way through Muncie up 405. Wow. And so it was like a huge, huge inconvenience. I'm like, man, it's always something.
Yep. Yep. It was a crazy night on Thursday night. I can tell you that, dude.
Yep.
All night long. Once it started, it was a poop show.
Cheek squeezing night?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
That is I'm doing 35 miles an hour. Oh, that's
right. I woke up in the morning and everything was covered in ice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You had to drive.
Yeah.
I was
driving in that. Yeah. Yeah. It was great.
Ay, that sucks.
It was. And this winter, it seems like every storm that we've gotten, it's starting overnight. And like, I get up at 3 a.m. I'm on the road by 3:30, 3:45. And it's always the time where this crap starts. And it's like, man, at least wait till I get to work and get in my truck or something. Like it's always the and I'm like 40 minutes from work. So if it's going to snow or something, I got to wake up at like 2:30 just to make it on time.
Mm. Yep. I heard that. I'm an hour away from work myself.
Yep.
Well, I am about.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear it, Tony. You're about 30 seconds from work. You wake up out of your bed and walk downstairs.
All right, let me present a different perspective to everybody. How would you like to live at work, huh? Would that be fun? No.
Well, I got it rough over here.
If my job was at my house, if I got to live at the terminal, no, I know you're right. I don't want to live at work. But if I wake up out of my bed,
my life
put
is
on
rough.
My slippers and, you know, shuffle downstairs, I put on as Jason Mraz calls it, a pot of liquid gold.
Yeah.
So I can make it through my morning or my evening. You know, everybody else's evening, my morning. Yeah. What a rough day.
It's rough. It's rough.
My heart just goes out for you, buddy. I'm so sorry. You have such a hard life. Yeah. It is.
I mean, I'm down here working and the kids are screaming and you know, I got to try a timing when I'm going to do recording when the kids aren't loud. It's a rough life I have over here.
It's very difficult.
It's tough.
The struggle is real.
Very, very.
I feel your pain.
Well, on that note, it's been fun, Kirk. We do appreciate you being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
It's been a blast. It really has. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, so, absolutely. All right, everybody. That's the show. If you liked it, please share it, right, Dad?
You got that right. Share it with everybody you know and everybody you don't know.
Just share the freaking show. Until next week, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane. Bye.
Yeah, it's nice because he raises it and then he sends it to the butcher and, you know, they take care of, you know, killing it. And,
but
they call you and they give you a whole list of, you know, what cuts do you want? What, you know,
right.
Do you want them in 1 pound packages? Do you want patties? Do you want this? How thick you want your steak? So literally you just call them, tell them everything you want. Mm-hmm. And then you go pick it up in a week and it's it's all done for you.
Yep. And it's wrapped in everything. You don't even have to worry about that. That's nice.
That is nice.
It's real convenient, especially in the political climate we're living in. Oh, yeah. Today.
And even nowadays with the way the store shelves are, I mean, it's like, it's crazy. My wife goes shopping she goes shopping every week. I don't even go into a store anymore. I haven't been really shopping other than when I bought a TV last weekend, but.
You finally bought a new TV?
I did. And you know what? Jack goes to me and we're standing and now this is crazy. This is the crazy thing with it. I had a 47 inch flat screen sort of from 2000.
Yeah, hold on a second. It was a 20-year-old TV. So before you start thinking it was a 47-inch smart TV or anything like that, it wasn't HD. It wasn't HD.
No, not even HD. Not nothing.
Have one of those big tubes on the back.
it actually still had all the ports for the RCA jacks.
Oh, yeah. It probably weighed 500 pounds.
It does. I can't move it. Me and Jack and myself, we took it off the stand. And it's sitting in front of the stand because I can't move it, but it's like, so it's just said, it's like one of these days, somebody will come by and they'll help me move it, out to the garage so I can get rid of it. But anyway, we're looking at, Sam's Club. We're just looking. And of course, in these big box stores, they're huge. So a 70 inch TV doesn't look that big.
You got a 70?
Yeah. when we got it home, I was like, this is really big. it literally covers up the whole wall. I mean, it's like friggin' ridiculous.
Oh my word.
But it's awesome. It is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
You turn it on, it's like the sun rose in your house.
Yeah. I'm trying to picture a 70 in your house. Like, holy crap.
It is enormous. On that front wall, there's two windows.
Yeah, it overlaps the windows.
It overlaps the windows.
Yeah. I knew you were going to say that. Wow.
It's enormous. Oh my God. It was hilarious. It just fit in the bed of the truck. We could just lay it.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playandmcd.com for full details and amoe.playandmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.